Special relationships and transatlantic correspondence galore. It's time for another installment of New York Real Talk on Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting.
Ringo Starr and Photograph, which is going to be one of the key things which we'll be talking about in terms of photography. I do believe that we'll also be featuring Moon Age Daydream as well, as far as the interesting aspect is concerned. It's New York Real Talk, and we've got, of course, Pamela Suman in the room. Yay, it is her program after all. Well, joint program. So that's what we say. That's why Phil Lidders has that line, special relationships galore on New York Real Talk. And obviously, it's nice to have a special relationship with another photographer, an opera singer, and general all-round globe travel person. That's Kathy Manso. How are you, Kathy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I think given that we've just been doing a location report at the New York Book Festival 2023 in the torrential rain that we actually had there, I think we're pretty good. But Pamela is a stickler for saying, "So you're out and about doing reports, etc." That's nothing, you know. We want New York Real Talk should continue. That's essential. She will crack that whip and work our way through it. And Pamela Suman, what's the weather like in New York on this fine July time?
It has just been continuously hot. Continuously hot. Yeah. I made the mistake of bringing, well, it was really a lovely time, but I brought five teenagers to the beach, which was really super fun. We went to Robert Moses Beach. We have mixed feelings about Robert Moses, but we did go to the state park, which was incredible, and got way too much sun. And day three or day four, I think I still have a sunburn. So it is no joke. The summer sun is no joke, and people should not go out without at least 50 to 75 SPF on them and keep reapplying, unlike myself.
Yeah, you see, this is it, Pamela. You need to obviously wear sunscreen, as indeed Baz Luhrmann said many years ago. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of whatever, wear sunscreen. A traditional graduation song. Okay, so Pamela, as we actually await the arrival of a husband and wife team of photographers, Fermento and Fermento, I was initially sort of bemused because I thought initially, oh, it must be a memento vivere. But then I'm thinking, well, no, it's more kind of New York Real Talk. So that's what we're calling it, basically, from that point of view. But I do like the line, working with your spouse can be complicated, exclamation mark. But BJ and Richelle Fermento make it look easy. She's an artistic director. He's a photographer. We'll find more, of course, as the program proceeds from that point of view. But how did you first encounter the Formentos?
I met them through my incredible husband Jerry, who met them in the midst of the sort of Bowie world, and they are fine art photographers, and they are brilliantly impetuous. And during a show, I think they pulled Jerry aside and said, "Let's take photos," and came up with some of the most iconic photos in a hallway, a very bizarre and not very nice hallway, and somehow in about 5 minutes managed to capture the most iconic photograph of Jerry that I've ever seen. They're just magical. And my thought is that both of them are the result of when you take something and you square it. Isn't that make 16 or 4? I don't know. My math is not very good. You can tell me the number, but it is more than two. So Fermento and Fermento, definitely the two of them together, definitely equal squared or whatever it is.
Squared, cubed, to the power of four, to the nth degree. There are so many mathematical equations we can actually go for. I'm just impressed with Rochelle, who actually sent me an email saying, "Hi, Alex, we're totally open to subjects for discussion. We are a husband and wife team, so we could touch on working partnership and the freelance aspect of art and commerce, if you like. Anything you think that will be of interest." This is wonderful. I didn't realize that the interview was going to be taking place via telepathy, but nevertheless, life continues. And as links get bound around, we'll work our way through that. So we talked about obviously where we've been basically today. You've been at the beach, Pamela. We've been in Newark. And Kathy, any particular highlights from the little trek that we had in terms of the Newark Book Festival? Was it Sarah Bullimore? Was it indeed meeting Spike's spiritual brother? Where are you going to go?
Well, I think everyone was pretty much a pretty good time, not going to lie. But the one that really did it for me, which I think Pamela Seaman will appreciate because we were not ready for it, is this book right here.
Yes.
It's Sheila's Little Black Book. And
Yeah.
we met Sheila, and Sheila spoke to us about the character that is on these short stories of women, of a woman going on different adventures. And I am pumped. Because I have no idea how scandalous this book is. Did she undersell it or did she oversell it? I don't know.
But it's interesting that whilst we're waving books at the screen, of course, this was another line that sort of came through, which was the joys of the beware the Bracken death. And that's by Alan Frost. And we'll find out a little bit more about that as we tease ahead. But nevertheless, we have obviously, I think, filled well there. We've actually taken the cultural discussion a couple of stages further. We've crossed the Atlantic. We've addressed a whole variety of other bits and pieces from that perspective. And I think we can now formally actually say we do have one of the three. We have both Flamentos actually with us on New York Retalk. So we can actually return to that original descriptor that we were launching with a few seconds ago, basically, which was he's a photographer, she's an artistic director. Together, of course, the two are dynamite. It's like the opening to Heart to Heart. You're too young to remember that, Pamela. But hey, BJ and Richelle Formento, welcome to New York Real Talk. How are you?
Yay, we made it.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks.
This is excellent stuff. So let's start off initially, because I know Kathy Mance has got a few questions for you from her Miami-based perspective and all sorts of other areas. Pamela inevitably has shared with us the awesomeness in which you actually took some of the most iconic photographs of her husband, Jerry, in a sort of post-concert scenario, etc. How did you two meet and how did you get together?
Wow. Well, as fate would have it, I was never destined to make a trip to the US, and someone got pregnant in my team, and so I was put up for a job, and so out I flew to Miami, first time ever in America. And at the time my boss had recommended a photographer who had worked for our New York office, happened to be BJ. So I hired him, and he flew down to Miami, and we met, and I'd say within a few days we kind of clicked. We stayed together for 2 weeks working together there. And when I flew back to London, I asked him to come and join me. So that was 18 years ago.
Proposed in a month, mate.
In Cape Town.
And we got married 3 months later.
3 months later in New York City Hall, and the rest is history.
And indeed, as Pamela's also said, you kind of add photography and creativity to the nth degree. But inevitably, I'm going to say this is a classic example of the NYRT magic in terms of sorting out the cosmos, because I'm going to bring in Kathy because of your Miami connections. Obviously, Kathy, would you like to throw the first few questions to Formento and Formento?
Oh, man. Well, it's just nice to know that Miami is still bringing people together. And ironically, I'm in England, so it's kind of fun how this is all very full circle. Nothing is coincidental. So I saw a lot of your work, I mean, as quickly as I could see it, but I saw that you really, your focus is on female perspective and empowerment, and I think a lot of other teams kind of go along with that. But I noticed in one of your interviews, you talked about how you like working with people who aren't models, and I was curious, how do you make someone who isn't a model feel comfortable in their body, since that's something a lot of women worry about?
Yeah.
Well, should I take it? It's funny because when we're on a photo shoot, the young gals end up calling us mom and dad towards the end of the shoot.
There's something about being a couple that I think puts people at ease, because I just take on a kind of, I guess, a motherly role, and I'm always taking care of our models. I'm always like, do you need anything, you know? And I think really comes across as a couple.
Sure. And we show ideas, you know, we show comps or photographs of what we're trying to achieve.
It's very much collaboration between us and the model, so we like to bring them in, you know,
a lot of conversation.
Yeah,
you know, I always say, you know, it's kind of a three-way relationship, and we all bring our baggage, three being Richelle, me, and the model. And it's great because we ended up with, it helps with the realism, I guess. It helps with the message that we're trying to say, as opposed to professionals who tend to either act out what they think the character might be, or if it's a model, you know, they tend to move more commercial. And we try to quiet it down. So
it's very cathartic for all of us, I think. You know, that comes across, I think, in a lot of the images. The girls really, it can take a while, but, you know, some people go into it easier than others. But I think ultimately the process is a very cathartic process for everyone.
We tend to spend a day with them, and you know, really all you need is one photograph to to nail it on the head. And so we make it fun, we make it really relaxed and chill, and lots of food, lots of wine. So we kind of make it a good time for everybody.
It's really comfortable to hear that you go out of your way to try to provide a really welcoming and nurturing environment, not just for models, but for anyone that you're photographing. So I guess, obviously, every project is different, and every time you go into it, you have to kind of go with a new perspective. But I guess, what's the first step of the day for you? How do you center yourself?
Well, when we travel, it's very different because, like you said, culturally, it's different. Each person's different depending on their culture, too. And I think when we travel, we always try to find a nice base. Sometimes we'll travel and find girls and we'll spend time with them and we'll even stay together in a house. So it literally starts with breakfast, you know, and you kind of ease your way into the day. You talk about what you want to achieve. You know, we discuss their ideas, our ideas. We'll sit and talk about it first, you know, and then we'll have a look at maybe what we want to dress in or the ideas with props. And then we'll literally get in the car and drive and we'll just stop at something we find. Sometimes the model will have a really great story, or the girl that we happen to meet say, oh, I have this place that, you know, I kissed a guy. One of my first kisses was at this old rundown. It's still there. Let's go. And they'll take us somewhere that we've never been. And that's kind of fun. We get to find places we don't know. Would you say that's
fun? Absolutely.
I noted that Pamela has also just popped in the notion of lots of tea. I mean, Pamela, are you speaking from experience here? And if so, can we be a bit more precise? I mean, are we talking Earl Grey? Are we talking green tea? Are we talking white tea? Are we talking PG Tips, Yorkshire? I mean, there are how many teas here? You can't just throw in lots of tea as a breakfast scenario here. What are we focusing on?
We're focusing on a toast right now, a rye bread with a really good, strong black breakfast tea.
And Pamela, what do you have?
Excellent, excellent. Or occasionally the green ceremonial matcha with the toasted brown rice. That's always.
Yes. That was delicious, by the way. I had a taste of that yesterday. I'm like, I've got to get more of this. I should really focus on a healthier tea, and that did it for me. The black tea's not so healthy, a lot of caffeine.
My daughter said she's on a healthy tip. One thing that I'd really love to say about Fermento and Fermento is that they're incredibly adventurous. I would say, you know, it's interesting, Jean Cocteau called himself a poet. He referred to himself as a poet. And though he did many things, the thing that he called himself was a poet. And I would say that Fermento and Fermento are a poet.
Oh, I'll take that.
A poet. And that it is definitely art. I think perhaps sometimes people get confused with art that comes from photography. Because there is a huge difference. People who make art from that depth, that spiritual depth, that search, that human meets spiritual depth, living in this mortal coil and having a conversation with life and a conversation with the dead and a conversation with anyone who's listening. The artistic mind is really, really deep. And so I don't think that they do any work without intention. Although at the same time, so that's true, there's an absolute intention and incredible depth and focus to their work. At the same time, they don't sit down and write out their shots, I wouldn't say. I mean, in a sense, they're very of the moment. And that, in a sense, is spiritual. It's like whatever might hit them or inspire them. And again, I don't want to speak for you. And you can tell me what you think about my hypothesis. So it's of the moment. It's immediate. So in that sense, it's not squeezed into a box. It allows everything to come through and the flow to come through. And at the same time, it is not simply snapping pictures. There's so much deeper. And that, I think, is what makes the absolute brilliance. And on top of that, that it's not just coming from one person. this flow is coming from two beings that somehow work as one.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think there's an organic path. I would say that some of our best shots happened by, I wouldn't say accident. We had to have a journey to get there. We spent a whole day shooting something and that presented us to a point where this shot happened. So it's definitely organic. But we do have obviously concept-driven ideas. We do bring props to the scene. We do, you know, have stylized ideas, but I think it's definitely organic.
Like a starting point.
Yeah, there's always a springboard.
Well, Pamela, I'm just so stoked that, you know, we've worked together and you really crystallize what we do. I mean, yeah, you're the poet. And so you have such a great gift for words.
I Rochelle never started hit, to ask Alex, I'll tell you.
I mean, Rochelle hit it by saying it's organic. I mean, we spend about 2 years on each project. That's kind of lately been right on time when it feels like it's done or we feel like we need to move on to something else. And then we build with that concept in mind, you know, whatever it is, either it's clothing, wigs, makeup, location,
ideas,
props, ideas, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're lucky enough that this works 100% because as you all know, it either, in artists in relationships, it's either 100% or zero. There's really no middle ground.
Definitely. We're a one cell phone couple 18 years. So
it's kind of never apart. And we're lucky to be able to, like, you know, go for walks and talk about work and go to sleep, you know, talking about it or waking up. And it's not heavy. You know, it's again, you know, I'm just really grateful that we're able to live this creative life. I mean, not that many people can really say that. And so I count my lucky stars every day that, you know, we're able to support ourselves with our work and that, you know,
continue that creative journey. Yeah. Definitely.
And commercially as well, you know, a lot of artists and actors and singers see our work and they hire us to do commercial work. And so it's nice to finally get to a point in your career where it's like
a balance,
just do what you do
because
I love what you're doing and giving you full creative freedom in that aspect. And so,
I think staying true to a signature, like people really see a strong signature and that's what they want. And you've got to, it's hard. A lot of people say, like, well, how do you find yourself? You know, it takes years. It's not, you know, you don't just take an online course and suddenly you copy a look and you go, that's me. You know, it does take time, I think. And it's taken us time over the years. I mean, we didn't break into the fine art industry until probably, I would say, 2012. So that would have been
about 10 years ago.
7 years in commercial making first and then we took on a fine art journey, but it definitely takes time and a signature really helps because that creates a strong sense of who you are and comes across. And that's what people are looking for, staying true to your vision.
I'm going to move it on slightly because one of the interviews I was really impressed with was where basically you only had three words to actually sum up the whole process. Basically, you were given sort of three words. You had to actually respond to everything such as your photography. How would you describe yourself? It'd be three words. I'm going to move on slightly from that point of view to mention those, some might say, terrifying words, chat, GPT, and artificial intelligence. You've described very eloquently a superb process of how you put the craft of the image construction together. You coordinate things from that point of view. There is a sense of thought that somehow artificial intelligence can do away with all of that. You simply put in actually what you want. For instance, three words, which says maybe Jerry Leonard, David Bowie, concert venue, bang, you basically get this creative range of photographers from that point of view. Mm. Are you concerned about that? Or is it a case of, well, we haven't downloaded our consciousness yet as far as we're aware, but we might have uploaded it unknowingly. Any thoughts on the way that in 2023 we look ahead, possibly with a bit of trepidation, in the same way as arguably maybe some Native Americans might have thought that their souls were being captured when photography was being used in the first place.
Sure, absolutely.
Yes, definitely in trepidation. But I think, you know, you can never recreate a human accident. So I think, you know, You can recreate anything, but I think the happy accidents are what make things special. And then people can never relive. You know, it's all about living in the moment. And you can't live in any moment if you're not creating that moment. So that's what
keywords.
You can use all the keywords you want, but you won't actually experience anything. It's pretty dead at that point.
I'm excited to see, you know, like AI 2.0 and what that's going to bring. I think there's going to be a lot of application in the commercial world, which scarily puts a lot of artists out of work. But I also think it's going to be a trend, like how over Photoshop imagery was the greatest thing when it first came out. And now you look at it and it's dead. And so I think, you know, people like us just got to keep forging on and
I think that it'll have its own time, and I think it will create a full circle and it will come back to people wanting the actual experience again. I think, you know, I don't think you'll ever lose that. I think commercially it's a big problem, definitely, because it's easier than having to deal with the production. And we've already heard from friends who have lost a lot of work through it. But you know, it's going to have its own niche. It's going to have its own people that create that.
There are still traditionalists out there, of which Kathy Manso is one of them, who actually will hand over film to be developed with negatives and so on. Kathy, I know this is tying in with your recent visit to Ukraine and more, but share with us your experience of that and why you decided to go that route.
I decided to go with film in Ukraine because they can't confiscate it. They can, but like, you know, it's not something that's going to be geotagged or uploaded immediately. And so that gives everyone a bit of privacy, especially when things have to be a bit, discreet, depending on where you're going. And I was near the front line a lot. You know, I was in Kharkiv and then I went to Bakhmut. So that was a way to do it. And, you know, it's really my sister's a photographer. So Francesca Manso, she's the one who actually really put in the years of work. And I'm just grateful that she's taught me, and she's the reason I have a film camera. She thrifted it for me. And I've learned from her. So that's why I thought I'd take advantage, especially since when I go there for my podcast, I do more audio work. And this was a way for me to pair it with something that I thought was just as important, and people don't stop you.
Wow, respect. I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, we've had digital film situations in Cuba.
Heard those stories.
Yeah, we've had to literally duplicate, like, you know, the digital format and put it across our body and items and things like that in the hope that, you know, if they do search us, they won't confiscate everything. So,
and also there's a magic loss with digital. You know, I'm old school myself. And if it was... if it wasn't for the costing and just mainly costing, really, I would still be shooting analog. But there's a magic loss, that there's a nuance that you can't be taught. It's back there in your computer where you know you've got something or not. And then there's the magic, of course, of developing it. And then you get the negative. And then you got to develop it again to get the positive. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. So more power.
Well, I got to do that my first time this week. I got to develop my own film because I had asked around for help, because I had the university I'm with, they have a dark room and they specifically work on black and white film. So when the opportunity came, I showed up because I was like, I really want to be careful about this. Can you help me? They're like, oh, do you want to do it? I was like, yes. You want to teach me? Great. Awesome. Let's go.
Scary.
I know, it's scary.
Was it the Ukraine imagery?
Yeah. So we did a practice run. Like, I didn't just like...
Good.
And now I've taken it to my actual, like, all of my Ukraine footage went to a specific place. Like, I talked to other photographers in the area. Alex knows Stuart Wild, who is a photographer here. And so I was recommended a place to go to get that developed. But what's cool now is that the person that I met in the dark room, who's like in charge of everything, he just gave me a bunch of film to work with. And he was like, look, come back, let's practice. And then next week I'm going to France. I was like, what a perfect opportunity. Let's do it.
Wow.
Fantastic.
How cool.
I would argue to say you're cool.
I know, it's such a like moment, isn't it? Because you've had to wait.
Because I, you know, how else I love being creative. I've definitely had my hands in a lot of different creative aspects myself, but like photography was more of like a, it's, I love it, but I don't have as much passion or as much patience, I think, with my other craft. And so it doesn't get the amount of attention it deserves. And I just found myself in a position where I'm like, I can give it this time. How exciting.
Yeah, I know. The anticipation of creating is wonderful. I mean, there's always that anticipation of the first moment in the morning when you don't know what's going to happen. And then at the end of the day, when you're like, I made something, you know what I mean? That like satisfaction, like I've done something with my day today. It's great.
Well, and you, that brings me to a question that I had for you guys where, you know, that you talk a lot about how exciting the journey is and how that goes really into the telling and creative aspects of your photography. And I want to know, is there a trip that really surprised you? Not that there was one exactly your favorite, but one that you learned way more than you anticipated you were going to learn from it.
Wow, that's a good question. Because they're all very different trips. I mean, we've done India, Cuba, Japan, Thailand, they're all very different. Culturally, I mean, they're so different. So you experience something very different.
I mean, biased, of course, but we just love Japan. So, I mean, it's like a sponge. Every time you go, I don't know if you've been, but it's just a whole different world.
I think it's the one country that we've gone back to again and again, and it's different every time. You think you know it, and then it presents something else, and you're like, wow, I had no idea. So the challenge of it, I think, you know, like, the language barrier is really challenging. And so it's a lot of, you just hope the body, your body language with somebody really connects. And it's nice to be able to not have to use words sometimes, you know. So that's always a great challenge. I think you kind of surprise yourself with what you can achieve when you really don't know.
You've got your bullet trains, you've got your tea ceremonies, you've got your Dhamma Marigatos, you've even got your two nuclear bomb blasts with respect to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What's not to appreciate? Godzilla, it's great, you know? Enough of such material. Pamela, would you like to throw in your wacky New York moment question?
Yeah, but before I do, I really wanted to talk about, for a moment, the idea, Michelle said something brilliant about you can't copy or reproduce a happy accident or an accident. You know, the thing is, the soul. That's the one thing about the chat, and I'm hearing a lot about this AI. I mean, we all are, right? It's the conversation of the moment. We're all talking about it. You cannot reproduce a soul. And you take two unique souls, you put them together, and they come up with their creative dance of magic. You can't. AI will never be able to put the soul into something. And when they're authentic and they're working with the moment and there is that magic, no chat, like there's just not ever, ever, ever going to be able to reproduce that. And if that should ever happen, we need to run. We need to find another planet to go to. That would be so.
I think AI has obviously taken over the sort of joys of Pamela for a moment there and has frozen us in mid-Zoom. But nevertheless, hopefully we will continue in a few seconds as far as the scenario is actually concerned. Of course, there is a question which actually goes from the basis of, you know, Pamela, how do you know that actually it hasn't already happened? That initial pause that was actually there isn't because we are all indeed AI. We've just forgotten that we existed from that point of view.
That was a happy accident, Alex. It was a happy accident.
Telling you, they're listening.
They're listening. They know.
Exactly. It's all right, nice computer people. We like you, really. We like your digital electrons and so on. It's, we're part of the same universe, the same cosmos.
Do we have time for that?
We have the time for the last two wacky moment questions, Pamela. Go for it.
No, we don't have time for the wacky New York moment story.
We do.
Bring it on. We want to hear it.
Okay, I mean I'll be New York about this. I'll be 212. Oh. sorry. And
it's an artificial intelligence feline that's just emerged on camera.
He's not real. He's a robot.
Exactly.
With those eyes, I believe it.
So, when you or the two or the three of you were in at some point, what is your craziest memory, your craziest moment of something happening in the island, on the island of Manhattan, having to do with the two of you, that you've either taken part of?
Well, apart from that time I wasn't recognized, was recognized, and then I was told I'm not really that girl.
Oh, that's celebrity moment.
Celebrity moment when, what's her name?
Carmen Diaz.
Yeah. So we were actually doing a video. We were actually doing something for WeTransfer, and they were filming us in the street. And a celebrity ran up to me, gave me a big hug, continued to hug on me and tell me how much she'd miss me. And then after about 5 minutes, I took off my glasses, and then she jumped back and said, I'm so sorry.
Well, you didn't
sorry.
Recognize her either.
Well, I didn't really recognize her. I'm like, she kind of looks familiar. She could be a stylist friend from LA. God, who is she? I can't be embarrassing and say, who are you? So I just went along with it. And then when I took my glasses off and she realized I wasn't her friend, she was like, oh no, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, well, come on, let's get a picture together. And she was like, can't do that.
That's Meghan Markle
weirdest,
all the time. That's Meghan Markle all
moment.
The time.
I can imagine.
Weird, really weird. I'm like, okay, only in New York. Only in like, yeah. I mean,
that
yeah.
Might be number
celebrity.
One. That might be the number one New York story.
Cameron Diaz. That's who it was, Cameron Diaz. And I was just like, I know that lady. I can't put my finger on it. She must be an old friend. I can't quite. Yeah, weird moment.
That is fantastic.
But and to be fair, Cameron's had a number of weird moments on screen, not least of which, well, I'm going to, but still they are. She's one of the best
yeah.
Charlie's Angels people. That's all I would say. where can people actually follow you guys on the socials and on the radio? I mean, have you transferred over to TikTok, onto Instagram? Obviously, Twitter is virtually dead these days. It's just
yeah.
a kind of, you know, thing that's sort of hanging out there in all sort of like a rump as everybody moves on to the Zuckerberg scenario. So where can people actually follow you and so on and see some of your awesome work?
Oh, I think the best one would be for Instagram, and it's Formento Duo is our handle. And then from there, it'll take you to a bunch of links like TikTok, our website, and our gallery. We're independent book publishers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And we've got to ask the question, what is the name of your feline who's chosen to actually allow you to actually look after them?
This one here is called Wolfgang. And they, they've all got crazy names. Wolfgang Amadeus.
Of course.
As you would.
Yeah.
And they look after us, really, you know.
18 years old. We've had him since we've been
together. Since we met. He's our child since we met. There was three and now there's two, sadly. Mom, dad and baby. So we just have dad and son. But they've seen it all. They've traveled. They lived in the RV with us when we were going across America throughout our 2 year stint, shooting 130 girls. That was crazy stuff.
The professional so, models.
They're,
too.
They're professional
yeah,
travelers.
I see that the professionals is actually there. It's just coming across. They're just
yeah.
striking that pose. It's like living Vogue for the feline
yeah,
world.
And they
it's great.
Travel in clear bubbles. They fly through space in clear bubbles.
They do. They do. They have yeah. little bubbles on my back.
Which has neatly brought us around before our musical segue into Mean Age Daydream and all sorts of other things, including which I had a photograph of you, Flock of Seagulls. Pamela, the last two questions for the Fomentos, please.
Yes, and not that we don't mean it when we ask it. Sometimes we always mean it. But we really extra, extra, extra mean it today, Kathy, Alex, and I. Will you have, number one, have you had a good time with us?
Oh, God, yeah.
Fantastic.
It's been a lot of fun.
That one out of the way. The second question is, will you please come back soon and share more conversation with us?
Oh, we would
oh,
love,
we'd love to.
To.
Yeah, we would. It's a date.
Anytime.
This is good news, sighs of relief all around. Pamela, what is New York home to?
Okay, you ready for this? New York, home of the world's finest pickle.
Pickle.
I'm
gotta
partial.
Try that.
I'm quite partial to a pickle.
Snappy, snappy.
I'm an alligator. I'm a mama, papa coming for you. I'm a space invader. I'll be a rock and rolling bitch for you. Keep your mouth shut. Just walk like a big monkey bird. Ooh,
of man, love is such a holy place to be. Make me, baby, make me know you really care. Make me jump into the air. Keep your electric on me, babe. Put your ring on to my head. Press your space face close to mine, love. Freak out in a moon age daydream, oh yeah.
It's not the lake. Yesterday I felt the wind blowing round my shoulder. I feel like I'm getting older. Still I can't forget your face. Separated by a million miles of ocean, my heart still feels the motion, even in this lonely place. Oh, with photographs and places I remember, just like a dying ember that's burned into my soul. Even though we walk the diamond-studded highways, it's the country lanes and byways that makes us long for home. Lately I just find my mind has turned to dreaming, making plans and scheming how I'm gonna get back home. But deep down inside I know it's really hopeless. This road I'm on is endless. We climb our mountains all alone. Oh, photographs and places I remember, just like a dying ember that's burned into my soul. Even though we walk the diamond-studded highways, it's the country lanes and byways that makes us long for home. Photographs and places I remember, just like a dying ember that's burned into my soul. Even though we walk the diamond-studded highways, it's the country lanes and byways that makes us long for home.